Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should I start things off?
Yes.
Do you think there is hope for DC now?
That's an interesting and complicated one to drop right before the intro. I want there to be. Tell you what, let's discuss it. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I'm one of your awesome hosts, Shanners. Next to me is Big Man Booger Red.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Good afternoon, good morning, and good night to everyone that's probably listening worldwide. Hope everyone is well and good. And to my right, I have the instant classic, the head of the table, the Tribal Chief.
Tribal Chief!
Himself, how you doing, bro?
I am doing good. I am doing good.
So let's talk about it. So yeah, while we were off, James Gunn dropped what the future of the DC was he calling it now? He basically clarified that some things are gonna be like in a different universe in DC, and some are in a kind of everyday DC everyday.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it DC A New Hope. That's what I'm gonna call it, because I think that's
wow. No pressure.
To be fair, if this doesn't speak to like hope and faith,
true.
I'm sorry. Like this video came out of nowhere for me. I can't even remember where I saw it.
It came out of nowhere. Yeah, I know
Big Man sent it to us, but I saw it beforehand. And I actually saw it through the DC TikTok, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I got a shout out, Blurred Eye Review.
You can thank them, sorry.
Shout out to Blurred Eye Review. I think that's where I saw the announcement when that dropped. I think it's around the same time that it came out.
Yeah, I think I remember. I saw it on James Gunn's Instagram, actually. I remember now.
Okay.
And when he was just like talking about, there are certain titles that he started bringing up, and I was like, oh crap. I was literally like Hawkeye in the end game, like don't you dare, don't give me hope, don't you dare.
What was your moment? Because I had a moment.
What was your moment, bruv?
I only had two, to be fair.
Go for it.
For me, I mean, to be fair, everyone knows I'm a Gunn fan. I do like his content. I loved what he did with Peacemaker. I mean, I went into that with no expectations, not that out of the park. We all love Guardians. For what he did anyway, so there's a little bit of is he gonna make like this whole DC hope, a new hope, as it were, bro, a Guardian based event, or is he gonna actually do some research? And to be fair, what he's came out with, I'm all game. And with the announcements of what he's making, I mean, we all know about the Amanda Waller series, But there's two things for me that stood out. One of them, I think we're all universally going to agree with. Other one, not too sure. Now, for me, when he was naming left, right, and center about what he was going to do, I mean, there was Paradise Lost, Brewster's Gold, Creature Commandos, he was naming out. The Lantern series, in a true detective style, that could be a game changer if done correct.
To be fair with that one, when he said that, I was like, do you know what? If also a fact that there are, like, human-wise, like, five now, Lanterns, yeah. Six, well, you've got Hal Jordan, Carl Rayner, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, I forget the woman's name, and I forget the new, the other guy, the Muslim guy, I forget, they're the six of them, actually, all together. It makes sense in that regard, but depending on how they're going to present it, that's a whole nother story. But
yeah,
but it's called, it is the Green Lantern Corps, because literally I remember there was a series of comics called the Green Lantern Corps that came out. I don't know if they still go into this day, but back in the day,
I started that, never completed that run.
Yeah, it never ended. It kept going, to be fair. Yeah, because I remember it basically just tied into basically the Green Lantern Corps, like it was basically like the DC's version of, I guess, Cops in a sense.
Yeah.
So it's basically like you're following like different members of the Green Lantern Corps going through certain adventures through the galaxy. So if they're doing it in that kind of like true detective style, it makes sense in that regard, because they are at the end of the day an intergalactic police station. So yeah, it makes sense. What's your other one?
Now you see that I thought was quality, but the two things that stood out for me, one was The Brave and the Bold, which was
their
That as I've got that series in trade, and I loved every page of that. Mm. Thought it was a brilliant story, absolutely brilliant. So if done right, could do well. But I remembered when I can actually imagine where I was. I was actually on the way home from work, hearing this announcement while I was on the bus. And when he said, "Oh, blah blah blah, we have the," I'm saying, "Did he just? No. Let me rewind that again." And he said, "Oh, and we have the." Now, when I heard...
People just say it, it's not cock teasing all of us.
Yeah, come on, man.
When he said, "The Authority,"
look.
If I could have screamed on public transport without probably being sectioned for the Mental Health Act or something, I think I would have been all right. But that defining moment, that was it for me. I didn't hear anything else. I just heard "The Authority." That is something which, thanks to you, Clint, and Brub, I got into. Absolutely loved. So I owe it both to you guys for getting me into that. How do you guys feel about it?
Well,
Go, bruv. Go.
Well, there are a few things that got me a hype, because, love or hate, be it Marvel, be it DC, I am more of a Marvel fan, but I do love DC. I always want anything comic related to do well in other media. That's always going to be my view on it. Like, you can have your fanboys and fangirls who are all into one thing and loyal to one thing. I just want it all to do well, so it grows and people learn more about it and they do their homework and actually start to enjoy the actual physical media of comic books and graphic novels and so on and so forth. So when they started talking about All-Star Superman, now that's probably one of my favorite Superman stories they did, because it was a very weird one due to the fact of what it was about. Because for those who don't know, with All-Star Superman, it was basically about Superman living his last moments of life.
Yeah.
But you saw a lot more about Superman when it came to his intelligence, when it came to his strength, when it came to his humanity. Like his version, like Grant Morrison's version of Superman and Clark Kent, especially done with Frank Quitely's art, he captures, how can I describe it? So for example, in the first Superman film, there was that moment where Lois spoke to Superman for the first time, did the interview with Superman for the first time, and then he flies away, and then a few seconds later, you see Clark knocking on the door. And then there's that moment where he's dressed up as Clark Kent and he's like patting himself on the back kind of thing. Then he does a slight movement where he straightens himself up, and then you see Superman for a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
Like, because like,
I know it so well. Yeah.
Frank quietly catches that in art so well, because like when you see his Clark Kent, he's like slightly hunched over. He is very like, he's very like, you know, like he carries himself very small.
Yeah, he's browbeaten.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, so like, because everyone always complains about Superman's disguise being just glasses at the end of the day, but it's not about the glasses; it's about how he carries himself as Clark Kent. Because a lot of times, you will overlook Clark Kent because he carries himself very small, very diminutive. You don't notice him. You will notice him from Frank, basically. But and all it takes him just straighten up that slight bit, just good, because a good like back straighten up, boom, you see Superman, and he catches that really well in the art. And again, to see that in a live action environment, that would be pretty amazing. Because I don't know who you're gonna cast as Superman. They're Superman now. I mean, you could just get like, you know, like Harry Cavill. But I don't see it happening anytime soon. But I mean, you could. But
you could just
Say again.
They wanted a younger Clark.
Henry Cavill's like, what? Barely 30? Fine.
That's not even
there. They wanted someone younger.
Oh, whatever. Anyway.
It's not even about that. I want someone to encapsulate that sense of awe that Christopher Reeve did. That's it. I want to see that moment where, as you said, Bob, that bit, and there are bits where, you know, the Kill Bill 2 and the whole judgment about Superman that's a perfect synopsis about Superman and his judgment as who we are. But thing it out, I'll be honest, barely anyone who's got in the shoes has done that whole kind of juxtaposition of that, the between that moment between Superman and Clark Kent. And Christopher Reeve was perfect, stammery, because even though he is big, you can notice, especially like when he goes into the Daily Planet in the old ones, you see him diminish ever so just a little bit. And there is a difference. That's why those scenes and that music and that framing speaks out and sound and is all of it. And I've unfortunately, in all the iterations, I've seen very few people carry it off in the same way. But it's what's picked up in the artwork, as you said, bruv.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry to cut you there.
That's fine. Batman Brave and the Bold. Now, Damian Wayne is my favorite little psychopath. He's my favorite little sociopath. I love him to death.
Mm-hmm. You do love you some Damian.
Yeah, because if I'm gonna say my all time favorite Robins, I'm always gonna say Dick Grayson. Nightwing Robin. He's always gonna be my favorite Robin, but Damian is definitely a close second, because he's part of me wishes I was like him, in the sense I wish I had his training at his age.
Aww.
But obviously that was never gonna happen, because my parents aren't. My dad's not a megalomaniac who's immortal, and well, my granddad even, and my mother isn't.
Let's do that different podcast altogether.
Cool. I want to see him catch as well, because I feel like, because the thing is, like, one of my favorite things about Damian's story is his relationship with Batman, his dad, his actually biological dad, and seeing that relationship grow and become rocky and get better and get worse, because they both don't know how to re-juggle emotions and be a father and son duo. It's really just it's great rollercoaster ride of emotions. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But the authority. Now, James Gunn made some amazing announcements. A lot of things he said was just ticking all the boxes in the Warren Book of Awesomeness. But do you remember way back when I had a copy of the Global Frequency pilot?
Yes.
Now, Warren Ellis is one of my favorite writers. Like, hands down, one of my favorite writers. I love his novels. I love his graphic novels. His stuff would make great TV in all shapes and form. And the Authority was probably, it was the comic book that brought me back into reading comic books again. And two, it was just an amazing story and it's gaining some amazing characters. And the fact that he said he's going to bring that and make it a part of the main DC universe. What? What? Yes? And if people don't know who the authority is, basically, just think, how can I describe it? I want to say a Justice League Avengers, but on coke or LSD or all of the above, like a cocktail of drugs, basically. Like, they're just a badass superhero team who don't give a fuck. They are the authority. They don't need authority because they are the authority. I mean, you, like, the fact that James Gunn is going to be helming this makes perfect sense because, like, think the Suicide Squad, the one James Gunn did, but instead of it being on 8, it's dialed up to 11.
Yep.
That's what you should get with the authority. Like, it's just... Like, I can't express how excited I am about that, the prospect of that. I've always wanted to see a live-action authority, regardless if you made it part of the DC universe or made it its own thing. It would have worked either way because they're a multiversal traveling superhero group, so it make perfect sense to keep it separate if you wanted to. But at the same time, don't make me have hope, goddammit.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick up from now. Don't make me have hope. And I was listening to it, and Waller seemed really interesting to me. Especially because he's with Viola Davis. I am for that. Making it an HBO as well is like, okay, I like that. But let's be real, I lost it all when I heard The Authority. I completely lost it when I heard The Authority. That's one of my it got me back into comics, just like, bruv literally handed the baton to me. It was like, read this. And I was like, what did I just read? Jenny Sparks is one of my favorite characters. I love it. And I love the fact that one of the first times I see her, she's basically wearing like a V for Vendetta t-shirt, smoking a cigarette. And Jack Hawks, there's just so much you have to look forward to. And I think the anarchy of it and the madness of it is perfect for Gunn to just go mad. And with Gunn doing it, I don't mind that it's a movie. Do you get what I mean? I just think he has that perception. So I don't mind if it's Gunn. If Gunn is, what should I say? I hope that Gunn is leading this movie. Because we don't know that. It could be somebody else. But I have confidence in his direction, in his choices, that it's going to be a wild ride. So, yeah, I think I literally, after The Authority, I zoned out because I shouted it. I shouted to my husband, and he was dumbfounded what we just heard. He's like, what? And it's like in my lifetime, I've seen some things, but in my lifetime, some of the things that I didn't think I'd ever see or hear in a cinema, I'm seeing, and it's just getting better. So yeah, The Authority had the other ones looked interesting to me. Waller looked the most interesting to me, but the Authority, I think all three of us have lost our shit on The Authority.
Yeah.
So I guess this is, yeah. I mean, we could talk about this all night, but I do want to kind of do something else. What I first off want to say, well, other than thank you for your thoughts, guys. I want to say that I would like in the future to do a whole recap around Last of Us, or go through my thoughts on Last of Us, because there's so much, and I feel like I'm going to be doing it every week. So I feel like I just want to, at the end, I'm just going to do a whole Last of Us thoughts, feelings, assessments,
everything else,
because... but. There's just so much.
I will watch it, but I'm not ready yet.
As someone said, the bar for video games, like in films, the thing was in hell. The bar was low, but my god, has this sailed. And I can't handle doing this week after week. So I think I'm going to need to do it. And when it's done, I'll come and go give my thoughts, feelings, and through tears.
That's why I'm waiting.
So yeah. But, so today's not about The Last of Us. However, I have been thinking about, so I'm going to submit to the my learned brethren in this council of siblings here. I want to talk about a perfect scene in gaming. Because already in Last of Us, I mean, the intro to Last of Us, I mean, John Hannah making a welcome comeback from the mummy days. It was a beautiful thing that he did just to lay those points. And Pedro Pascal, okay, I'm gonna stop. But it made me think about perfect scenes in gaming, because I think when we've seen a lot of the trailers and stuff, we've seen a lot of really good encapsulations that have been lifted from the game and the present in the series. And they've done really well so far that I've seen. So it made me think about perfect scenes in gaming. And the kind of scene that you can't, like, if they transferred it to another medium, you can't do without it. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't be missing. So I thought about it. And I feel like, I hopefully I can do this, you know, I'll do another set of these. But my first thoughts was around the American West. And do you know that the American West was only a 20-year period in history?
Really?
Hello? Yeah, it's only 20 years. And the era of cowboys and shootouts was basically, in terms of time, a blip. But the impact, you know, it still ripples out from black hats to white hats and shootouts and saloons and sex workers and whiskey. You know, when and we're talking about things from Bonanza and Outlaws, Casey Wells, Deadwood, Blazing Saddles from Rockridge. And just, you know, to this day, we still trying to capture that tiny time. And we still learn more, you know, we still learn more about who was there, who did what, you know, and the vision behind it. So it, of course, led me to submit to this council that I think one of the most perfect, if anything, I think I'm going to state it, the perfect scene in gaming is the Mexico ride in Red Dead Redemption, the first one. And I'd like to talk about it, if you would have me do that.
You don't really have a choice. I think it's yours.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, I'm tough. I saw it by accident because I saw my husband playing it, and saw. Full disclosure: Red Dead Redemption is not usually my kind of game because it's like the whole. But one thing I've got to say is the voice of John Marston. My God, that thing is that voice is a thing of beauty, and it encapsulates it. It draws you in, and I was watching. Watched this halfway through and I saw this amazing scene, and I think I couldn't even believe what I was seeing because it just looked so good. It just looked so, I think I thought for a second like that this can't be real. And the thing is, there are so many other, when you sit down and look at gaming, there are so many other things like that. There's so many other feats of genius that you're almost like, is this real or is this a film? Is this a TV show? What is this? This is gaming. You've come from the Atari to this. And I just started. I couldn't stop. I'm just watching this bit. And then it was the end. Suddenly I was like, wait. And my husband was like, yeah, you kind of missed the beginning bit. And I think the thing about the little, you know, that run, that part, is that you can miss it. I'm gonna put it in the description of this podcast for those who haven't seen it. And I know that some people will hear us talking about gaming and they might go and switch off. But the whole point of this podcast has always been to engage, to highlight, to show you different things you may not have thought of. So I would urge you to click on the link and just chill out and just watch this beautiful piece of amazing. Amazing visuals and amazing sounds. I take it both of you played Red Dead Redemption, yes mm-hmm. or no, or right? So yeah. You know this, the answer I'm talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The thing is that you can miss it.
Yes.
Also, you have to get the right things to get it. You have to have. I think you have to definitely.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You get a new horse to get this ride.
I miss it in my gameplay, to be fair.
Yeah, a lot of quite a few people did miss it in their gameplay. And I actually found it and watched it. And I remember, I think the thing I like, because what I didn't realize is that, you know, that gamers and developers have found ways to try to mask transitions and to mask the fact that, like, the next things are loading. So the most notorious example of that is the Mass Effect elevator or lift.
Oh, yeah.
That whenever you're basically in a lift in the Mass Effect, it basically means that the next is loading. So loading screen, actually. And the same in Batman, when you're going, like, through the rock, that's basically the loading screen equivalent.
Mm.
They're trying to find a way to make that, you know, without interruption. And what I didn't realize is that Red Dead Redemption was, like, the first for Rockstar one where they could have transitions that were so tiny that if you notice when you're playing it, that you could come from a cutscene and there's a minimal bit where John will just move a certain way to indicate he's ready. So it's almost seamless. And since Red Dead, they've always done it. Because usually in Rockstar games, what happened is that between a cutscene and you playing, they would go to black.
I should remember.
And the funny thing is, I never realized. I was like, oh God, that is actually true. Because it would always just cut to black and you go to the thing. They wanted to find a way to do it. So the team worked on a way of doing that. And I just kind of had to, I was looking into this and just, you know, kind of interrogating myself and interrogating this and doing a bit of research, and I got a quote from Rob Nelson, who worked at Rockstar, or I hope still works at Rockstar North, was a co-studio head, but he was also art director. And he said that when he watched this scene, his actual quote was, "I'd never heard or experienced anything like that before in a game. It was so unexpected and it captured the moment. It did something that you wanted games to do, but didn't know you wanted them to do. It's one of those moments where something you didn't know happens and it makes you feel like a kid, like you're experiencing the magic of games for the first time. And when it happens on your own game that you know a lot about, you just feel really proud and lucky to be part of such an incredible team." And for those who don't know, so I think the link I'll probably leave is, it's after a mission where you basically help an Irish guy, and he says, you know, "John, like, you know, you're a bastard, but I like you," or something like that. And then Jose Gonzalez's Far Away starts with these chords, and you get on your horse and you just ride, and you ride to Mexico. And it is just absolutely perfect. It's the perfect encapsulation of graphics, of execution, of style, of emotion, because you've been so far on a journey with John. You like him. He's, you know, endearing. And this music is playing. And it just, honestly, it breaks you and rebuilds you. And it's a genius moment. And if anybody ever said to me, video games aren't art, I always bring out this and say, tell me this is not art. I just feel like it's one of the most beautiful, important scenes in gaming. And if they ever did it, they'd have to bring that in. There's no way that could ever be left out. I think fans would riot if they ever did a Red Dead for HBO and then didn't have this scene in it, because it's just so beautiful. And I love that a game can bring you something more, something meaningful, something deep, and make you think and feel. And if even the creator is like, I was art director and I felt some things, and I came home and played it and I cried. And I know there's an equivalent in Red Dead Redemption 2, and maybe I'll cover that on another day. And I know there are other fantastic scenes, but this one is the one that I always go back to. And there are people who kind of say things like on Reddit where they're like, I didn't realize how good this game was until I saw this moment. Or people who've missed it and gone and watched the video, or people who've come across it again and was like, because it's everything. It's the vastness, it's the expanse of the area, the isolation. It's all of it. I could literally go on forever about how amazing it is. But I'll leave it for you to watch and enjoy. And I hope you do. But that's my submission and my little rant about Red Dead Redemption 2 and the ride to Mexico, and why I think it's one of the greatest scenes in all of gaming.
Wow, you made me want to replay the game now.
Well, you can and you should. I mean, you know, John Marston's a bloody good character. You know, I think I even did some research when I was saying about it. They didn't know how to kind of, John was kind of one of the last things they put together, because they weren't too sure how to put him, because he had all these like influences, and there's a way they wanted to, but by the time they kept adding things, he became John Marston, someone that you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, but you know, and you start to like him, and you start to love him, and then of course the end happens, and I'm not going to spoil it, but
we just did.
I didn't say what happened and how and why, but John is one of the is a fantastic character. I think it's one of the geniuses of Rockstar. They really do get the right actor for the right job and bring out the best. I know we've done already a shout out to some fantastic voice actors that have come through, but Rockstar do have a really good gift where they tend to get really 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 good people to encapsulate and bring characters to life, you know. And it's an amazing thing, because I was watching my other half play Watch Dogs Legion, and I just was like struck by, I remember this was supposed to be like the final vision, you know, like the whole you can jump to person, and it's like, yeah, but that's the thing, it still feels quite empty, you know. I mean, I know there are issues around Watch Dogs in general, but I always feel like a bit more attached to a character when I can hear them and imagine them. You know what I mean? As opposed to just being an avatar.
Yeah.
I can't agree with that. I'm still mourning my favourite person dying in Watch Dogs Legion.
That was
Sally. Rest in peace, Sally Pearson.
Aw, R.I.P. Sally. But yeah, that was just my little observation. And I hope that I can do more of these where I just kind of take a moment and say, this is why this is excellent. Or this is why this is shit, which might be the case. But yeah. Check out Last of Us, please, people. It is... Oh. I know the bar is in hell, but I think with this, I think a lot of our wishes have come true with what we wanted and wanted to see. And I think it's been a really good decision to flesh out some NPCs in that, rather than just keep it to the people that we know. Mm-hmm. It's taking out to go, who are we going to actually flesh out? Because you know, it isn't a game. It is a series. It's an HBO series. So you want that depth to push the story along. And I'll cover that in a future episode.
One thing I have to say about The Last of Us, anyone that's seen it, episode 3. Now, we here at this podcast are a massive fan of the work on one Mr. I've got to say his name. Help me out, sis. Help me out.
What, Nick Offerman?
Thank you. I knew you would know exactly who I'm talking about. Yeah. If this man does not get nominated for his performance, then something's wrong with the world.
Well, there is something wrong with the world, to be honest.
There's something wrong with the world.
There's many things wrong with the world, to be fair, but you know. Many,
but that's the thing, like, and then but then things with horror or horror elements tend to get overlooked.
Mm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't. Do you get what I mean? Because it's notorious in a lot of, like, in a lot of, you know, other than, like, specialised things to do with horror, that things that are either horror or horror adjacent, people act in them, direct them, what have they, get overlooked because it still gets dismissed as a kind of, ugh, you know. And I've already done my horror rant for the year. I don't think I'm going to do that again. So I wouldn't be so... I
have really done your horror rant for the year. Halloween's like down the road, sis. About
I know. I know. It was a setup. Of course I'm going to do more horror. But yeah, so Big Man, I'm sorry. I would be surprised if he did get missed. I hope he doesn't. But I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know what I mean? Shout out to Nick Offerman. Oh, look.
Mr. Offerman, we salute you.
You know what's been nice? It's been nice to see a lot of people that I follow, like, on YouTube and stuff, who have been tense and nervous to be almost in tears, be like, guys, it's good. Guys, it's okay. You can watch it. As opposed to, like, fire the torches, get the pitchforks. Neil, we're coming. Honestly, I was frightened for Neil Druckmann for a bit because it was getting tense. It was getting very tense, especially in the face of the last atrocious Resident Evil.
You know what, though? I can't say anything. I mean, that's what I'm going to say. There's nothing else I can say about that series so far.
And this is why I feel like we can do it when it's done. Let's just do a roundup when it's done and go for our emotions with it because, So I guess that's me and my ranting self done for today.
Are you sure?
But I'm still kind of shocked that authority was mentioned. I'm still shocked. I still feel like this can't be real.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about it until I hear casting.
Casting is key, but you know what? This always brings me back to us years ago having conversations about the authority and saying, oh, can you imagine if the authority we ever get turned into a TV? You're like,
That's never happened. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, we used to laugh at that.
Because we're talking about when it was like, I think it was at its peak during like 9/11.
Yeah.
With authority, a lot of their fights destroyed cities. So I was like, that's not gonna happen. So, but
we did an episode on the top 10 things we said would never happen actually happened, and there's a lot. Because I think we could do a top 10 things that we said would never happen, and or we'd never see, or they never had the guts to pull off, and we were wrong.
Also wrong.
so wrong. For some of them, I was like, for real? We got that?
Right hand up, left hand tilted down. I apologize so cold-heartedly to the masses. You proved me horribly wrong. And I thank you for it.
I mean, some of them weren't good. We didn't say that. We just said they wouldn't happen. Big distinguisher. So I think we do that. My big disclaimer is we never said good. We just said they'd never happen. There's a big difference.
That's definitely one for the forthcoming masses.
On that note, I think I should probably shut the hell up and say thank you for letting me bend your ear for the best part of a good while. And unless you find gentlemen have anything to say or to add.
Do I have something to add? Gaming scenes that if they did a film, I would love to see it. Actually,
what's that?
Okay, so you guys know I'm into my Souls games.
Mm-hmm.
So Dark Souls, Elden Ring, Demon Souls, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorites out of them is Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Now, there's a part in the DLC which is called the Hunter's Nightmare, or the Old Hunters in the DLC, as it's called. You meet a boss called Ludwig. And he's this big mutated giant horse thing. It's hard to describe. And you're having this epic fight, as you do. You're this tiny little hunter, and he's this gigantic two-story building of a man or a creature.
Yeah.
And you get into the second phase, and there's a scene where he just passes out, and it turns into a whole full-blown cutscene. And then he realizes he has a sword, and he starts talking to the sword, and it's just, it's probably one of the, probably one of my most favorite scenes in a game period, due to the, especially in Souls games, because it's, it, everything is turned up to 10 in epicness. Like the music in Dark Souls in general, especially in Bloodborne, is very operatic and very like dramatic, and you're like boom, boom, but then like the song just kicks up to 10 when he gets the sword, because you're literally like, you're seeing him look at his glowing blades and he starts saying, "Oh, you're with me this whole time, my guide, like my guiding moonlight," which is a sword named the sword. It's called the Moonlight Great Sword. And he actually poses for the camera looking like a bloody album cover by Wu-Tang. And then the beat of the song just drops. Boom, 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 boom. And then like, you're in, he's just turned up to, he's turned up to 10 as well. He's gotten stronger. He's faster. He's got new abilities. He has a sword that's taller than you. It just, everything is just, it's just improved by this one transition, real cutscene and a harder boss. And it's just, like, if I, like, I did a gameplay of it. It's on my YouTube channel.
Intercast, we'll link in the description. Thank you.
But I'll definitely say that that's probably one of my favorite scenes in most in games, because it's just like, if I could ever see that in a, like, if I ever could see a Souls game in live action, like, in my mind, it would have to be like a silent film in a sense, because your character, because obviously the character you have is made from scratch. You don't have really a voice, other than the pains and the screams you make when you die. And I would like to see it like, I would like to picture your a main character like that, how Nicolas Cage was in Willy's Wonderland. Yes, because he didn't say a single thing for the whole film.
Yeah.
I got respect. I mean, granted, it was kind of silly, but at the same time, it's like, I kind of want that for it would work for a Dark Souls character, because obviously a character, the whole idea is that with your character, it's you see yourself through that character. And I think that would probably, I don't know how I think it would probably would work really well for live action personally, but that's just me.
Well, to be fair, I went to the opera the other day.
Posh cow.
Really, how do I think I am? Reboy, please. It literally was £28. It wasn't that much.
Oh, you're a big spender.
I know. Ching. But yeah, me and a friend, Chad Sasha, went to see Magic Flute. And the thing about Magic Flute is, you know the music. It's familiar because the beginning music is the beginning music to Trading Places. So that's how you know the Magic Flute.
Yeah.
And there is a part in Magic Flute where this character is like going through these trials, let's say, and I literally wanted to take a picture and say to bruv, this is Dark Souls. Like, quite literally, this is Dark Souls. Because the character has these two huge, I don't even know what, in armor. And the door that this man pushes, it just looks like he's about to go in for a boss battle. And I was like, and the smoke coming out of the door, I was like, this is Dark Souls. So it was terrifying, but yeah, but interesting. I had a very, very good, very good time. But yeah, it's very Dark Souls adjacent. So yeah,
I have one.
You got one, yeah.
Just one, and sorry. No doubt, this will happen some point soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll set you the scene. I was playing this game, and the game just pretty much started, and I wasn't expecting a borderline boss battle since the game started. Now, bruv, you can relate to this. If I say to you God of War,
yeah.
If I said to you, as you described it, the guy that looked like Conor McGregor,
yeah.
Yeah, he was Conor McGregor. Boulder was the Conor McGregor of God of War.
Yeah.
He literally was in build and tattoos and everything.
Yeah. That fight sequence. Even think about it now, it gives me goosebumps.
It was probably one of the best video game superhero fights you can have in a game.
Yeah.
Really good.
To be fair, only Ragnarok has beaten that.
Yeah, but had to.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say it had to, because that first fight, especially when it's going, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
I don't fear anything. I'm like, I just put you through a mountain. Don't tell me you didn't feel it. Imagine someone going, yeah, and? Like, what? Imagine like so you doing some Avengers level destruction and then someone just dusts off their color and goes, and? Was that supposed to hurt? Because it literally didn't tickle. I'd be like, what the? I don't feel anything. And it's the fact that for a second you're like, dude, are you on the ropes? Because we didn't start the game doing a burial for you to be buoyed like this. And
that's how, I'm not going to lie, that's exactly how I felt. I got disrespected from the minute I turned that game on for that fight. I'm sorry, when I'm...
Disrespectful!
It was. I'm screaming at my fingers because they're in so much pain from button configurations and me beating this man, for him to stand up, crack through a rock, and laugh at me. I remember this is 2 a.m. in the morning I'm playing this. I am screaming at the TV, die, motherfucker, die. This man won't go. And now, of course,
at a point where I was like, you can't boy me in 5 minutes of this game and lose.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And I thought,
in front of your son, in front of your seeds. Oh, my. Oh.
And I explained to my sister, she's like, what's the matter? I said, this game is bringing me to a dark place and it's just started. I had to shut the door, barricade myself, have a stiff drink. Someone had to go. Eventually, when I got past that stage, I took a massive sigh of relief, but I thought,
this is gonna get vexed.
Oh, yeah.
I was vexed when I was done. I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. And you, boy, shut up. I don't need no stupidness from you. Die. See, look what you're doing now. You're getting emotions.
That's right there. And I thought, I shouldn't be tested like this. And I actually felt like, is this game taking a piss out of me? You disrespected me already. I just invested £45 to be laughed at. That's how I felt. The game was getting to me on a level. But
amazing. It's when he goes, I thought you'd be a challenge, but no. It's like,
you're thinking, I'm beating your ass. What are you talking about?
I've just crushed your face. Look, there's an imprint in gravel. Look at that. I thought you'd be a challenge, but no. I still don't feel anything. I'm like, then you have a psychological problem, and I'm not a therapist. Why are we here? Boy, shut up.
Hearing your reaction, just bringing it all back.
It's no
to make me feel like that, let alone soon after the game is starting.
So I'm not going to say that the equal opposite to that is Alien Isolation for Terror.
No,
because I think we should stop, because I'm like, then we have to go down this rabbit hole.
The opposite
frustration of God of War is Alien Isolation when you realize that the alien is listening through your gamepad. Yeah. That's when you're like, oh, what?
Connect.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's as the Uso will say, one and done. Yeah, I learned that the hard way and never will be done again.
Lockdown!
On that note, I think we should call it a night. Bring it to a close.
Sounds Stay good. O.
Say peace out. Thank you again for your ears, for your time, and for your everything. You can find us on Instagram. For a minute there, I literally was like, what the? You can find us on Instagram at Messed Up Pod.
You can find us if you look really hard.
Very true. Well, not that hard. You know, just put in Messed Up Pod and you'll find us. So Messed Up Pod on Instagram and Messed on Twitter. And if you'd like to email us, give some feedback, recommend some things, you can email us at centuredavengers@gmail.com. Bruv, what's your socials?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitch, and TikTok under instantclassic_gaming. And you can also find me on YouTube under instantclassic_KB, where I post videos weekly. Big man, what about you, brother?
I can be found on Twitter at war3782 and on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1.
As always, take care. It's been awesome to do this, and my very best to you.
Take it easy.
Boy.
Later.
Have a good evening. Take it later.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.